Thanks. I'm going to use this just because I want to put my phone on a surface. But I really don't need it because it's really going to be very short. So this is not the message that the Lord had put on my heart for today. This is the message he gave me during worship. I had wondered whether I should respond to you when you invited us to do that, but I thought maybe not. I thought I would share it at the beginning of the message, but then as it happened, it's going to be the message. So it's really, really short, but for me, it's life transforming, it's extremely profound. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to grab a hold of this. Lord, help our hearts to see it. And just help me to communicate what you showed me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So many, maybe about a year or two ago, the Lord challenged me to believe that whenever we're together, He's with us because He said so. He said, wherever any two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So I began to believe it, and it began to feature whenever I'm either leading the meeting or sharing a word. I often will say that wherever any two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he's there. This morning, he showed me an aspect of that word I'd never known. So this is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And the flow, actually, if you read it before then, he's talking to his disciples about what it means to be church, because he'd started in Matthew 16, telling them, well, he told Peter that, and I say to you, you're a rock. You're a rock or a stone. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, not on Peter, but on the thing that made Peter a rock. The thing that made Peter a rock was the revelation of Jesus. And he said, on this rock, I will build my church. And then he goes on to talk about his church, about the power, the authority that his church will walk in. And of course, the word he actually used in context was not the way we think of church these days as a religious body. It was actually kind of confrontational because it's the same kind of word that the Romans might have used to talk about a gathering of a political body, of a governmental body. And that is why Jesus said that whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And he says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Kingdom is government. God's government, the realm where his will is done. So he continues that flow in different ways, but in Matthew 18, he keeps on returning to it. So in Matthew 18 from verse 15, it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. And then he says, assuredly, I say to you, Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the second time he's saying it. Again, I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth concerning, and the context, what he was saying about how we deal with sin and why we need to deal with it in love, in the way he said, is because of the authority that he has invested in us, in his church. So he returns to the theme that he started with. He's really talking about life in the church and the authority he's given us and how he wants that authority to be operational and not to be for that authority not to be usurped is not the word. Compromised. He doesn't want our authority to be compromised because our ability to be witnesses unto him, our ability to be people who prove that the invisible God is real, our ability depends a lot on our authority. And so the reason he talks about if a brother sins, you know, forgive him, talk to him, forgive him. The reason we go through all that uncomfortable process is so that our authority is not, what's the word again? Compromised, exactly. It's not compromised. So he's talking about the church. He's talking about the gathering of his people. So he says in verse 19, again, I say to you, if any two or three of you agree concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So he wants our prayers to be potent. And then he says, this is the reason for all of that. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So what you guys don't know, well, maybe some of you don't know, is that there's a group of people who from time to time on a Sunday, you'll see somebody come and share the word if that person is one of us. What you may not know is that we kind of frequently gather together and pray about what the Lord is saying and what direction we believe he's saying about what the word should be. And the last time we did that, one of the things we talked about was that we felt that the Lord wants, he doesn't want us to move away from the theme of his presence, because that is what it's all about. His presence is not something we talk about and then move on to another subject. There's nothing else. He is it. There is literally nothing else. So anything that is not increasing our experience of him and our experience, because that's what Jesus died for. He died to bring us back into fellowship, which means participation. So anything that's not increasing our experience of him and his experience of us is waste. So during worship, he said to me, the first thing was he brought this word back into my heart. And then you see where he says gather together in my name, that word in, he changed it to, this is what he said. Think of it as around my name. And that can be difficult to think about. How do we gather around his name? Well, it's, if we were Hebrew, it would not be strange, because many times in the Old Testament, they spoke about his name as though his name was an entity. And in fact, Solomon built a whole temple for his name. His name is actually his presence. I don't know how else to say it. I'm at a loss for words to describe what I'm thinking of. His name is him, and it is his presence. And so, what he was saying to me is that his desire is that whenever we come together, we come together around his name. Then I understood why he said, even if just two people gather around my name, I will be there. I as in they will experience my manifest presence, because their purpose is to gather around my name. They have come to meet with me. They haven't just come to church. They've come to meet with me. Therefore, I will be there. That's literally what he was saying. Whenever we make it our purpose to meet with him, he will be there, even if there are just two of us. And then my brain was still having difficulties about it. And I have a Greek dictionary on in my Bible. So I had a look at it. Lo and behold, the word that was translated in is unto. So if we read it again, for where two or three are gathered together unto my name, I am there in the midst of them. And it doesn't matter what things we're dealing with. It doesn't matter what issues we're dealing with. It doesn't matter what heart issues we're even dealing with. It doesn't matter whether I really feel like, I don't really feel like I want to be in his presence, but I want to be in his presence. You know, if you're coming to our house, you know that you're coming to see us. You might not like us, you might not like the time, but you are coming to see us because you're coming to our house, you know. And so that's in the natural. But if we thought of it like that, that every time we come together, so I'm not saying house as in the building, but us, we are his house. And every time we come together, even if we're not feeling like meeting with him, if we know that we're coming to meet with him, we will meet with him. We will encounter him. We will encounter him. He's able to go beyond the tricks that our souls can play. The issues that we can have in our souls, the issues we can have in our minds, the unresolved things, the how does this meet with that? And I'm not sure I really believe this. And does the Bible really say that? Whatever it is, you know, he's really able to circumvent every single limitation that we have. Because, like I gave in that example, if you've decided that in spite of, I don't really want to spend time with Aki and Yetunde, but I'm going to their house anyway. So you're going to be there with them. And so if we can go beyond whatever is going on in here or around us and say, I'm going to meet with him, you will meet with him. And when we meet with him, he is able to change whatever it is that was going on that would have prevented us from meeting with him. He's bigger than everything. He's bigger than the challenges in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. He's bigger than the challenges in our situation. He loves us, and his love for us is bigger than those things either. Also, far bigger. And so he knows that if we know that when we gather, we're gathering unto him, and we choose to come. And we choose to overcome whatever those things are and come. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. So, that's the message. So from today, by God's grace, whenever we meet together, we're meeting not just together, we're meeting with him. We're meeting, in fact, unto him. We're gathering unto him, a bit like, you know, some people don't really like their parents very, very much, but at Christmas they go, everybody gathers there. You know, some of the sons-in-laws or daughters-in-laws might not be too happy about it, but they know they're going to be there, and those parents will be there. They will be there. You know, but you go anyway. But this parent, he is omnipotent, meaning he can do any and everything. He can sort out any and everything. And we should, just like the theme of this morning has been, we should desire him more than the solutions he brings. Because if we have him, I'm telling you, the solutions, you know, they will come. They may take a little time. He might choose to not deploy those solutions immediately. But if we have him, we already have every solution that we need. And he wants us to love him and desire him more than those solutions. So our hearts may go through a test whereby we're seeking him and we want him, and the solutions have not manifested. It's just a time to prove that we exalt him and we desire him more than what we may want from him. It's really important. None of us would like to get married to someone who wants to marry us just because of what they can get from us. You know, we all want to be loved for who we are. And he wants to be loved for who he is as well. Praise God. It's been an amazing morning. It really has been. Yes. 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 That's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah. You know, that what you said just there reminds me of something. There is something in the world of information technology called I am. Identity and access management. It's called I am. And so I work for AWS. In AWS, our system of identity and access management is called I am. IAM. I am. I am roles. I am permissions. And I am. That's what it means. It's, you know, I just shake my head sometimes and I think, oh my goodness. There's so much to say about that. And he also, you know, when you introduce yourself, a lot of the time you say, I am Akiola Smith. And what we are saying is that we are part of him. We're identifying with him primarily. My identity as a person, my name, is rooted in him. So when I say, and I like to say, I am Akiola Smith, rather than my name is Akiola Smith, from the time he showed me that, because I'm saying it, but I'm reinforcing it to myself that my identity is rooted in him. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing morning. We really gathered around you. We really met with you. We are encountering you from one level of glory to another. And we can't wait for more, Father. We can't wait for more. Lord, we pray that you would embed these realities in us. Oh, dear. Oh, wow. Sorry, I have to tell you something else. So I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. So Graham said, we are in heaven. I said, yes, we are. There's this thing about spiritual realities, which in the physical world is completely nonsensical. So Jesus said in John 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, how is that? But in spiritual, it is spiritually real. It's like a different dimension. It really is. Spiritual reality is not something that is going to be. It is now. But if you think about it in natural terms, it does not make sense. But it is true that we are really seated in heavenly places now. Okay, so the Bible tells me that my wife and I are one flesh. But there is an air bridge, there's an air gap between us. And if you look, she's over there and I'm over here. How are we one flesh? But it's a reality. And when we accept spiritual reality for what it is, then we begin to experience it. So, how did I get that? There was something I was praying and then the Lord dropped it in my heart. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.